red shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I delve into the latest rumors making the rounds about Wizards of the Coast and 1D&D as it relates to the OGL and the SRD for 5e. Now, I don't usually devote time to such things, but some of the flat-out wrong things I've seen people put out there about this rumored occurrence have prompted me to say something just to try to add some clarity to it. We'll just leave it at that. My attempt is to try to clarify things. I don't know anything. I'm not plugged into any of these rumor sources. I'm just going by what's out there publicly and trying to clarify some misunderstandings that have just gone rampant based on this. Before I get into the episode, I wanted to point out that I've added two new pages to my blog. One page lists all my podcasts, with the most recent always at the top of the list. That's just one more way you can find my podcast. And I did another page for my YouTube channel. I did not find an aggregator to use on my blog, so I'll have there is a link to my channel and then links to my main playlists, especially my most popular one, Roll 20 for the Absolute Beginner, and my long dormant series, How to AD&D. Just two more ways to get my podcast and YouTube videos where people can find them. And there's no call-ins for today's episode because I got all caught up on my last episode more than 6 months ago. But I'm sure people will have their own thoughts about this, so feel free to call in with the Anchor app. And in the next episode, I'll go over why it's taken so long for me to have another episode and talk about what I did this summer. So look to that in the next episode.
Coming soon to a tavern or arena near you is Expletive Deleted, the raunchiest band in a PG-13 world. See and feel their performance as they use their musical skill and bardic magic to thrill you. With special guest, Aspen Leatherleaf, who will stun with her cutting-edge haiku poetry. Take it from me, your old pal, Rock Viper, your favorite announcer. If you need inspiration, don't miss this band's tour. That's Expletive Deleted with special guest, Aspen Leatherleaf, cutting-edge haiku artist, coming soon to a tavern or arena near you. Tickets on sale from Scalp Hunters International. Don't trade your scalps with any other merchant. Financing available through special mission contracts. Fighting in the arena. Debt slavery. Or bargaining your soul to the various forces of the underworld. This is the Don't Miss Tour of the Millennium. Expletive Deleted with special guest, Aspen Leatherleaf, the cutting-edge haiku artist. Coming soon to a tavern or arena near you.
So 1D&D is the much-publicized next iteration of D&D that is supposed to be backwards compatible with the current version, D&D 5e, and it's not a whole new version that people are calling 6e. Some people are still calling it 6e or 5.5e. And it is currently slated to be released in 2024, which that is the 50th anniversary year of the original D&D, released back in 1974 by Gary Gygax in the original TSR. So with D&D 5e, it is under the OGL, which is the Open Game License, and it has an SRD, which is a System Resource Document. The rumor is that 1D&D will likely have its own SRD, System Reference Document, or System Resource Document, but it will not be under the Open Game License, or OGL. Some have speculated that it may be under a revision of the Open Game License, or have its own license that for a fee, one can get the benefits of the license. That's all up in the air and has not been made clear. Now, the big problem I've seen is confusion about what an SRD is and what the OGL is, and also confusion of what copyright is and what trademark is. So copyright and trademark, those are all the time getting turned around. The SRD and the OGL, that's understandable, easy to get turned around. But the main thing is if you understand copyright and trademark and what the Open Game License has to say about both, then you can make sense of this. Now, I have to say, I am not a lawyer. I've never been to law school. I've never taken a law course. I only know what I've heard other gamers who happen to be lawyers have said online in sources that you can find, and what I have read in the plain text of the OGL, combined with my understanding of what copyright and trademark means. So take this with a grain of salt. And if you're really worried about it, check with a real licensed attorney for official legal advice. That's probably going to cost you some money. But if you want a good answer that you can take to court, that's what you want to do. I'm just trying to clarify and hopefully not add to any confusion. Subtract from the confusion if I can. So, let's start with some simple definitions. Haha, legal terms, simple, there we go. Copyright, that means the right to the text and the ability to reproduce it. So we think of an author like Charles Dickens or Mark Twain. Both of them were very familiar with the copyright law of their times and used it to the best advantage they could when copyright was a much shorter time period because they were trying to provide for their old age and maybe their children if something happened to them or their spouse. So if you have the copyright, that means you have the right to do what you want with a given text. Now, in the United States, one cannot copyright game mechanics. What you can copyright is the way you explain those mechanics. So let's use an example and just pick something that most people are familiar with that's not a role-playing game. Let's go with Monopoly. You can make your own version of Monopoly. You just have to come up with different words to explain the rules. So you're going to get taken to court and lose if you just make a verbatim copy of the Monopoly rules because, one, it's breaking copyright, and two, it's going to have all the trademark terms in there, so you'll get trademark violations. And depending on how many violations it adds up to, the fees and penalties for violations are per violation, and they're quite steep. So make sure you understand the difference between copyright and trademark and handle it appropriately. If you make your own version of Monopoly, it's relatively easy to make your own statement of the rules that says this is how you play and use your own words to explain it. And as long as it conveys the mechanics, you've got your own version of Monopoly. The issue is where it bumps up against trademark. So trademark is the service mark by which it's known. It's very easy to understand the company logo. So the company that makes Monopoly, their logo, you can't use. The name of the game, Monopoly, is trademarked, so you can't use that. You can't copyright a single word, so the word Monopoly is not copyrighted. So you can talk about a Monopoly, but the game Monopoly is trademarked, so you've got to avoid it when used that seems to be confused with the game. So say, just like Monopoly, you can't do that, because you'd be using a trademark name. Now, there may be ways around that, but I'm not a lawyer. Then you get into the names of the properties and the layout of the board. Now, the names of the properties, those are real streets in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and the railroads are the names of real railroads that some version may still exist, but they're real historical things. So I don't know if they can ding you for that. Now, the exact layout and colors of the board, that may be trademarked. And so you got to do your due diligence, but you can make your own Monopoly board. You just have to make sure that you avoid using terms that could be copyrighted or trademarked in your design. And maybe the layout and exact colors could also be trademarked. So you got to do your due diligence. So you may be fine on the copyright, but you could get burnt on the trademark end of things. Hopefully that example clarifies things. Now, the system resource document, or the SRD, is a reference for the mechanics of the RPG licensed, in this case with 5e, under the OGL. The mechanics, remember, we cannot copyright mechanics. For 5e, the SRD is the free minimal version of the rules that they have made available online, which is enough to get started, and you could use that and use that for all your 5e play, and you wouldn't have to spend any money on any other sources, and you could either just live with what's in the SRD, or you could homebrew your own stuff and never give WotC anything. WotC is Wizards of the Coast. Now, in the case of D&D 5e and its SRD, the first two pages is the OGL, and the first few paragraphs explain how to publish content under the OGL that is included in the SRD. And one of those paragraphs is a declaration of what's called product identity, and that section declares what is not released under the Open Game License. And these are trademark names of creatures like Beholders, Githyanki, Illithids, and so forth, and named spells like Tensor's Floating Disc, Mordenkainen's Faithful Hound, Bigby's Floating Hand. So you can't call your spell Tensor's Floating Disc, but you can call it Floating Disc. So those names are trademarked, and if you use those, they're going to get you on trademark law, not copyright law. So if it's not declared as product identity, then it's fair game. And that's what you have to do when you release your own stuff under the Open Game License. There's a spot for you to declare your product identity. If you don't declare it there, everything in the publication you release under the OGL is now open game content. That means anybody can use it. And the thing about the Open Game License is anything published under the Open Game License, you can't take it back. Once it's out there, it's out there. So if you make a mistake, even if it's an honest mistake, you can sign away your rights to stuff that maybe you didn't want to sign away. So if you have your own unique setting, you maybe don't want to put that under the Open Game License. If you don't have any mechanics in it that tie back to 5e, you know, consult your lawyer on how best to handle that. Section 1D of the Open Game License explains what open game content is. And it means the game mechanics, including the methods, procedures, processes, and routines, to the extent such content does not embody the product identity and is an enhancement over the prior art and any additional content clearly identified as open game content. It means any work covered by this license, including translations and derivative works under copyright law, but specifically excludes product identity. So that's a long-winded way of saying that anything that is game mechanics and its methods, procedures, processes, and routines that are not product identity is open. So if they don't declare it as protected material, i.e. trademarked and you can't have it, it's open. And WotC wrote the OGL, and they own the copyright to the OGL, and part of the license gives you the right to use that, the full text of that license, in your product. What this basically says is, WotC is saying, you can do, under the OGL, exactly the same thing as what U.S. copyright law allows. They say they're okay with it. So basically that section says it's okay to do what copyright law allows. We won't bother you.
So that also gives a good clue there. If you don't use anything from Wizards of the Coast, you don't need to use the OGL. Make your own game. If you're not using, well, even if you are using D&D mechanics, give it their own name. They can't come after you because it's mechanics, which cannot be copyrighted. It's really nice of them to give you permission to do what you don't need permission to do. So think about that. That section of the OGL is basically a license to do what copyright law already allows. So as long as you're faithful to that section, you don't need to worry about the OGL if you don't have anything in there that you think WOTC might raise their eyebrows at. So where the Open Game License and the System Resource Document come into play with 5e and WOTC is through the DMs Guild, that is a partnership with One Bookshelf, the owners of DriveThruRPG. If you meet all the criteria and you publish on the DMs Guild specifically, basically you can use trademark material like logos, product identity, monsters, even certain artwork and certain settings. For example, Greyhawk or whatever the other settings are. I'm drawing a blank. But instead of the normal maximum 75% royalty if you have an exclusive agreement with One Bookshelf, or the 65% royalty if you have a non-exclusive agreement, the royalty on DM's Guild is only 50%. And anything you publish there becomes WOTC's domain. So if you come up with some really cool idea and this bubbles to the top at WOTC, they could take it and do what they want with it and sell it for more money than you'd ever see. And they don't have to share any of it with you. So that's the one drawback to DM's Guild. Now, not many of us are going to have that million-dollar idea that goes like gangbusters, but Critical Role, they could lose all their stuff if they published on DM's Guild. I don't know if they did or not, but just think about that. There's DM's Guild, Wizards of the Coast working with a third party. Another third party that Wizards of the Coast was working closely with was D&D Beyond, and they outright bought them. That's a good fit for WOTC. They're already strongly tied into 5e and supporting it, and if One D&D is just an extension of what is already in 5e, it's not going to be that big of a stretch to be ready to use that. And by being part of Wizards of the Coast, they don't have to worry about the whole licenses and stuff. They can just start getting ready for whatever One D&D is going to be. And Wizards of the Coast has announced that they are working on their own virtual tabletop. The rumors of One D&D having an SRD but not being under the Open Game License, combined with their moves at buying up D&D Beyond and working on their own virtual tabletop, plus recent moves by One Bookshelf and the Roll20 virtual tabletop to merge, looks like those two companies have seen the writing on the wall and they perhaps are tied into these rumors. And maybe they're getting ready for what it's going to look like with Wizards of the Coast having One Bookshelf and their own virtual tabletop and limiting online One D&D with official products to Wizards of the Coast controlled properties. So D&D Beyond already has a means of selling the 5e books. If they can expand that to also, and this is just my speculation, just looking at what could happen, not what will, just total speculation based on gaming out possibilities, that the D&D Beyond and its selling things could be expanded to replace GM's Guild and have it all in one place. I don't know if D&D Beyond has the scalability to do that, but if it did, that would really explain why Roll20 and One Bookshelf got together, that if WotC wanted to buy, for example, One Bookshelf to do what it wanted with GM's Guild, that maybe makes it look less likely to be a purchase, but one never knows. They could try to buy out the GM's Guild from Roll20/One Bookshelf, or they could just cancel their licenses to One Bookshelf Roll20 so that they can't use official content anymore, and that would put a damper on it and limit them to content that wasn't official trademark labeled product. I don't know how those licenses work. That's why, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how that would work, but that looks like a possibility. And if nobody else can have one D&D on their virtual tabletop, it's not just Roll20. What about Fantasy Grounds and, what is it, Forge and several others that have their own little storefronts to share materials? What is it going to mean for them if they don't have access to one D&D? Are they going to have to pivot and fight over the scraps of non-1 D&D players? Because the 5e players may all say, oh, we want to do the one D&D thing. And it may be that new players always seem to start with whatever the current version is, because if you can't get the 5e books at your local game store anymore, and you can only get it through, you can only get one D&D through whatever the market pathway is for that, that's what people are going to play. And if they can only play it at WotC controlled properties, as far as online play, that's what they're going to do. And if you've got a 5e group, but you can't get materials for new players that you've recruited that have never played before and don't have the rules and you can't get it anymore, what does that mean? Is that going to make it harder for that group? Is it going to force the group to decide, are we going to try to keep going with 5e or are we going to move? And some people have speculated there's going to be a few new Paizo-type situations rising up out of this. That's pure speculation. Who knows? WotC has listened in the past to concerns that have been raised, so maybe things will change. Maybe they won't. Maybe it won't be anything like any of the speculation is going out to do. But basically, what this all comes down to is you need to think ahead. So if you're a small publisher, a small creator putting stuff out on One Bookshelf, that is DriveThruRPG, it's probably time to think about and start investigating diversification. For example, in my case, I've got everything only on DriveThruRPG with the exclusive agreement so that I get the maximum royalty of 70%. If I want to not be exclusive as far as electronic publications, I'd have to opt out of that and lose 5% of what I'm getting now on DriveThru, and then I could have my stuff elsewhere. Whether I would try to figure out how to run my own storefront, which that's more work than I want to deal with, because there's a lot of things you got to worry about. You got to keep the security and all this stuff going, and that's a lot of effort there. You can try to do stuff through different things, but I'm thinking that's more than I want to juggle, because then you're dealing with taxes and other things. So there's other venues, like itch.io is a very popular one. I'm definitely going to be looking into that and what it's going to take to do that. I've already got an account there for purchasing things on itch.io, and it seems like it's quite interesting, and so that is definitely something I'm looking into. So basically, the old adage of don't put all your eggs in one basket applies. Just like with social media, Elon Musk has turn things topsy-turvy over at Twitter, and a lot of tabletop role-playing people have sought other means and have greatly reduced their sharing of information on Twitter, other than, hey, I'm looking at over here, or hey, I'm over here, or I'm leaving, or whatever. If a means of communicating what you're doing is not controlled by you, have a plan for what to do when it goes away. If you're on Twitter and Twitter fails because of whatever Elon's next crazy idea to try makes it all collapse, what are you going to do? And if you don't have a plan before it collapses, then you're going to be scrambling. The key is, don't panic, and remember your towel. Just be ready. Biggest thing I want to encourage is, don't get caught up in rumors and gossip, and avoid the flat-out wrong information. The flat-out wrong information that really motivated me is an article on the website Game Rant. I'm not going to give a link to the article because I think the only thing it had factually correct was the rumor is about the OGL and the SRD, and then it confused the difference between the OGL and the SRD, and then it confused the difference between copyright and trade. It's just a mess. So don't read that article if you don't want to be confused. I will be linking is an article at InWorld that clarifies the OGL SRD thing and how you don't need to panic. That's the whole thing. Don't panic. And then Alex Kammer, the man behind GameholeCon, he is a practicing lawyer, and he posted a tweet that clarifies things as he understands them. Now, he is not speaking as a lawyer nor giving legal advice. He just verifies that the bit about the SRD and OGL is true according to the sources he has. So I'll link the main tweet for that, and you can read the thread and read the whole thing, because people ask him clarifying questions, and he explains that he's just, based on what he's heard and seeing the writing on the wall and informed speculation, I guess is what you would call it. So nothing official, just he confirms that the OGL SRD rumor is from some source that should know. And that's all anybody will say. And we're not going to probably ever find out who that is, because that person would probably lose their job if it got out. That's all I have to say about that. I look forward to hearing your comments on that, and I'm sure I probably misstated a couple of things here, but the big thing is, research copyright and trademark law and read the OGL very carefully, because if you understand the difference between copyright and trademark and you understand what the OGL does and doesn't let you do, and that you understand you cannot copyright game mechanics, only the explanation of those mechanics. So if I say roll 3d6 and I'm the one that invented that term, you can't say roll 3d6. You'd have to come up with another way to say that. I don't know if that's quite entirely accurate because I'm not a lawyer, but that gives you an idea. Just use your brain, and if you have any doubts, pay for a lawyer. Get their advice. So that's all for today. I hope you all have an awesome day. And as always, game on. Follow Me and Die is an old school RPG podcast. I share my experiences and ideas about role-playing games that all started with the Holmes Blue Box Basic Dungeons & Dragons over 40 years ago. I've played lots of role-playing games that were new in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and some of those I still like to play, especially Dungeons & Dragons. But there's more than older role-playing games out there. I share ideas that will fit into any game or genre. So check out my podcast. I'm always looking for a few good minions.
Better do what Grubba says.
Knows how to wield a sword. Spells arcane and divine. Up on a shield to a wolf, and if you have the time, he's got a mean sales pitch. He even makes it rhyme. And if you need a job, this is his go-to line. So if you wanna die poor, I can't imagine why. They say once you fuck a bomb, there's nothing left to buy. But if you wanna die rich, go going to bond both eyes. Then raise up your long sword, follow me and die. Yeah, raise up your long sword, follow me and die.